Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the 8 at 8, the Ocho, 8 stories, get your day going, and we'll start it off with the Astros at 1. Sorry to get your day going this way, people. They lose 10-3, the Astros do last night to the New York Yankees. It was cool for a half an inning when Kyle Tucker hit a solo home run to get the Astros a 1-0 lead, but that lasted all of about 8 to 10 minutes as Alex Verdugo hit a 3-run homer in the bottom of the first, and it was off to the races for the Yankees, who pretty much spent the entire night scoring runs. The Astros spent the entire night doing nothing at the plate. Justin Verlander, this is probably of all the things from this loss, the most disturbing thing was Justin Verlander getting absolutely shelled. Gave up 7 earned runs in less than 5 innings. And he was brutal last night, and he said, wasn't good.
They had a good approach, and I wasn't very good. You know, if I'm being really honest with myself, I think like the last, you know, couple of games, probably particularly the walks kind of showed me I was a little off. And then sometimes it takes you facing a team that knows you intimately and vice versa to send you back to the drawing board. You know, I think, you know, these guys showed me today that I got some work to do. I got to be more deceptive.
Seven runs in exactly five. He pitched exactly 5 innings through 97 pitches. And the reason, Seth, why I say that's the most disturbing thing, where the Astros are right now, you know, they're 12-23 now. You're hoping for a lot of these guys to turn things around. Like, what we can't have are guys who we felt like we could already count on falling off. You know, like, as I'm looking at this team, I'm like, okay, we can count on Altuve. Like, he's doing really well. There's other guys we can, like, Tucker's having a great season so far. He's tied for the lead in home runs in the American League. In the starting pitching, you're like, okay, when he's healthy, Javier's doing all right. We get him back soon. Verlander's been good since he came back. Okay, we can't have these guys. There's a few things we can count on, and all of a sudden, Verlander's one of these things. Like, okay, well, at least for now, I don't feel like I can count on him.
And it hurts extra that it's the Yankees. And it hurts that everything he said is true about, like, okay, well, he's certainly not himself, but he can't hide from it when a team like the Yankees torches him for 7 earned runs. He gave up, last time he faced the Yankees last year at the end of the year, gave up six runs to the Yankees. So they, until he fixes himself, they own him.
He's their daddy.
And, yeah. Yeah.
They're his daddy, sorry.
Listen, Ronel Blanco can't go out there and pitch every single evening, Sean, okay?
The old
every now and then
goes,
we got to throw a Verlander out there.
Yep.
All right? Every now and then the Yankees are going to be licking their chops when Verlander comes to town.
Yeah, man. So rough one last night. Spencer Arrighetti, New Jersey native, on the mound tonight for the Astros against Carlos Rodon. Number two, the NFL has announced its schedule release. Or at least Adam Schefter reported that the schedule will be released next Wednesday, May the 15th. So I guess the question would be for Texan fans, you talked earlier about leaks that we're probably going to see. Some of them are calculated leaks by the league. Like, we'll know who the Thanksgiving games are, like either the day before or the day of. We'll probably learn who the London opponents are before the whole schedule gets released, I would imagine. Maybe those Christmas games get leaked out. The opener, I'm guessing, is leaked out. The Texans are candidates for all of these. They can play on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. They could play in the opener at Kansas City. There's two teams they could potentially play in London. They won't play twice in London, but there's two teams that are on their road schedule that host London games. Everybody's up for Christmas or Black Friday. The Texans, how many leaked games do you think we get from the Texans leading up to it?
So that would be basically the marquee games.
Yeah.
I think the Texans, I would put the over-under at 1.5.
1.5 is what I was going
to think.
There's
a really good chance that it's the Cowboys and the Texans on Thanksgiving. That just makes too much sense.
Is that at the top of your Christmas wish list for schedule release?
Yes, I want Christmas to come several weeks early.
Yes.
I want it to be the Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving game with the Cowboys.
Man, that'd be
and
fun.
And we could organize like a Thanksgiving dinner for Texans fans up there. You know, for anybody that goes up, there could be like a big tent Thanksgiving type thing.
I hope they organize one here for people hosting the pregame and postgame show.
Oh, for us?
Yeah.
Can I get a turducken?
Right.
I know it's not a turducken anymore. I know. What are they doing now? They're doing that multi-leg turkey,
instead
of the turducken.
We're still old school. We do just straight turkey, man.
Well, no, but John Madden was the turducken.
Oh, on the broadcast. Yeah. They're doing
so
that.
So we could do that on our broadcast.
That would be great. I would love that. So, yeah, May 15th, next Wednesday, schedule release.
Three.
J.J. Watt Charity Classic. Raised over $1 million was tweeted out yesterday. So good job, Houston and Sugarland. $1 million raised for J.J.'s foundation, which provides equipment to middle schools in underprivileged areas for after-school activities. It's a very unique charitable endeavor. But he's raised now. The sign at the charity at the event said, we've raised over $7 million. I'm guessing it's over $8 million now that the foundation has raised. So great job.
Yeah, that's – because you said there are plenty of extra places to get extra revenue at that.
Oh, yeah.
Fun games on the side. And
merch,
everything.
And I'm guessing they got a cut of the food in there maybe. Who knows?
Did they have tattoo artists? Is that going to be the new thing after the uniform unveiling?
That's a good question. There'd be people
– how many women are there? How many people have actual, like – J.J. Watt tattoos.
More than you think,
I bet. Back in the day, right?
More than you would think, I would guess, have a J.J. Watt tattoo. You know, I was thinking about this morning, Seth. If it weren't for these charity events, the J.J. Watt Charity Classic on Saturday and then the Texans golf tournament on Monday, we would have been really lacking in some content this week. Those two charity events provided us with media availabilities that really helped drive the news cycle this week.
Either that or we'd be talking about the things that actually matter instead of these frivolities.
No, you're right.
Clown.
That's true.
Every day I come in here like, damn it, when are we going to get to the serious
stuff?
When are we going to do-go? Oh, yeah, we already talked about the Astros.
That's right.
Four.
Tyler Boyd, wide receiver, signs with the Tennessee Titans. 1 year, $4.5 million. That was a name I was kicking around for the Texans.
Up to a maximum of $4.5 million.
I'm part of the problem.
He's not making $4.5 million.
We'll see. You never know. No, he's not. The Titans are doing everything they can, I guess, to try to see what they have in Will Levis. It feels like the Jags and the Titans are both kind of doing, like, the Jags and the Titans, ironically, the Jags, who lost Calvin Ridley to the Titans. But, I mean, the Jags have put a lot of weapons around Trevor Lawrence. They signed Gabe Davis. They used their first-round pick on a wide receiver. They've already spent a lot of money on Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, and they used the first on Travis Etienne back in the day. And now the Titans are doing the same thing. And then obviously you got the Texans who just dropped nukes with going and getting Stephon Diggs. The AFC South, I'm not going to say it's like an aerial circus or anything like that, but these games should have a lot more fireworks in them this year, I would think, right?
Yeah. That's I think the names are one thing. I think the biggest thing with the Titans specifically is that their offensive line was last year one of the worst in the league. And they drafted J.C. Latham, who might, I guess, is going to play left tackle for them. That wouldn't be enough, just one rookie offensive lineman. The fact that Brian Callahan has been one of the best offensive line coaches in the league for a long time.
Bill Callahan, his dad.
Who's for his son, Brian Callahan, the coach.
Yeah.
But Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach, I think, is that might produce immediate dividends.
Yeah.
So there is, as much as I bash on their offensive line, as bad as they've been, having Bill Callahan as their offensive line coach might make an immediate difference. You know, you can only do so much with the talent you have. But, yeah, good for them. They get an attaboy. Good job. Good job on your upcoming six-win season.
Yeah, no, I think the Titans are still going to be bad, for sure.
Who's their backup quarterback? Mason Rudolph, that's right.
Oh, they signed Mason Rudolph? Okay.
They've got Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis. So those two, I'm guessing, will play probably. Who plays more games? Mason Rudolph or Malik Willis?
Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph.
Malik Willis might play in more games, but not as a starter. Mason Rudolph will start more games. Will he start more games than Will Levis?
Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
No. Well, injury. No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. Because if Levis is healthy, they're going to ride him into the ground.
He's not going to be healthy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I'll get the over-under on him on 9 games.
Okay. So you think Mason Rudolph will start more games maybe then?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
5.
NBA playoffs last night. The Celtics destroy the Cavaliers 120-95. The Thunder, the one seed Oklahoma City Thunder, 117-95 over the Dallas Mavericks. The big talk in the NBA playoffs the last 24 hours or so, at least that I was listening to, the guys on the afternoon talked about this a ton yesterday, was Rudy Gobert staying back in Minnesota for the birth of his first child and missing game 2 of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of run yesterday. You look like you've got an opinion on this.
It's the same damn conversation every time, and people get so worked up about it. It's about paternity leave and all that, and the one difference with this scenario, regardless of how you feel about paternity leave amongst athletes in the playoffs, is that Rudy Gobert was also waylaid by bad weather issues. It wasn't as simple as it wasn't that he didn't. As I understood it at the time when they read about it yesterday, it wasn't that they weren't trying to get him back. It's that because he had to stay back, he stayed back because he was having a child, and then he was going to come later, but there was some kind of a weather event in the interim, and it made it too difficult to do. At least that was their story.
Yeah. Here was Gilbert Arenas yesterday.
So let me guess. Did Clint and I didn't catch any of it. Did Clint and Ron, did they disagree on paternity leave for athletes or no?
No. They actually, they both said that they would stay back. They would do what Rudy Gobert did, both of them. Now, Clint said that when he did, before he had a kid, because he was, Clint was an athlete, he would have stayed. Clint said he's missed a bunch of different things back when he was playing. Like, he missed his brother's wedding because he's playing in Europe and he's going to lose his job if he's not there to play games. So he said, Clint said, if he were an active athlete, he would have missed it. But now, having been through childbirth twice with his wife, that even as an active athlete, he would have skipped it and done what Rudy Gobert did. Like, having a kid actually changed his perspective.
I thought you just said that he... Okay, so he said when he was an athlete, he wouldn't have missed it. And then...
When he was an athlete, before he was married and had a kid, he would have said, I would have played the game.
Okay.
Now that he's had a kid, even going back now, knowing what he knows now as an athlete, he would have missed the game. Yeah. Sorry if I made that very confusing. Sorry.
No. At the very end, I think you might have said a different word. But anyway, personally, my wife and I had an agreement that, it was basically, there was almost nothing that I would miss a football game for.
Yeah.
And, that was as much from her as from me. It was just kind of, that's how we kind of, I think we both, because we both grew up on dairy farms where, you have to milk the cows no matter what happens. I think both of us are just kind of sometimes it sucks, but you got to be there for work. So there you go. So we didn't really, I don't judge people who feel differently. I totally understand and get it. I just personally, I wouldn't have. I don't think that makes me better or anything than people who are, too lazy about their jobs to show up and work.
Yeah.
I'm joking at the end or something.
I know you're joking. They know you're joking.
6.
They don't know I'm joking.
Seth was joking. Greg Doyle. I don't know if he was joking with this or not. This was super awkward. This was from a couple of weeks ago when Caitlin Clark was getting introduced to the Indiana Fever. To Indiana. She was the first overall pick in the WNBA draft. Greg Doyle, columnist for the Indianapolis Star, had this exchange with her, awkward exchange at her press conference.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. Okay. So,
she was making the heart hands. Greg Doyle suspended for 2 weeks for that creepy interaction with Caitlin Clark.
And he had done the heart hands to her. And then he said, I feel like he could have gotten away with it if he hadn't said, I like that you're here.
Yeah,
That was the creepiest thing he could have said.
Yeah, suspended for...
That just felt like he was stuck in his own imagination.
The funniest part for me is he was suspended for 2 weeks, and he's not allowed to cover any of her games. Like, it feels like a restraining order or something like that when you read the story a certain kind of way.
I was surprised, though, that it was a two. I wonder, now, what were the grounds? A lot of times when it comes down to media ethics and everything, it wasn't that he sounded creepy about it. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. So was it just that they felt like it was unprofessional?
Yeah, I think most people felt it was unprofessional. Yeah, like, you're there to ask questions. You're not there to, you know, have weird interactions with the subject. Yeah.
Yeah.
General creepiness. That's what I would have suspended him for.
Seven.
Rashee Rice, under investigation for alleged nightclub assault in Dallas. That some stations out of Dallas. This was making the rounds on the internet yesterday. So, Rashee Rice, who has been charged with all sorts of vehicular issues from a racing incident that he had with some friends on a freeway in Dallas a few weeks ago, decides the best thing to do, allegedly, is to follow that up with possibly a nightclub assault in Dallas.
I like this because it's yet another reminder. Like, the game I love to play of players the Chiefs have had that have helped them win a Super Bowl that wouldn't have been Texans worthy. So Rashee Rice is on there. I feel like Tyreek Hill is on there in terms of the conduct, you know, when they used to be very, very strict with the conduct. What's his name? Kareem Hunt, I suppose. Kareem Hunt left before they won the Super Bowl, their first Super Bowl, did he not?
I don't. I think he did. No, yeah. I don't exactly recall the time. He was gone. The first Super Bowl was 2019. He was gone by then.
But still, same thing. Players that Andy Reid has had that wouldn't have been Texans worthy based on the conduct policy. You got to remember, they can't all be Eagle Scouts, okay?
Right.
Rashee Rice, he's got a taste for fast cars and fights and nightclubs.
Yeah.
And yet, he's going to be a valuable part of this upcoming season unless he has to miss 1 to 3 months pending good behavior.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not even suspended 1 to 3 months, like in jail 1 to 3 months.
Right, yeah. He's perfectly clear to play football. He just can't get to the... He's on his own little paternity leave.
Yep.
Eight.
Last one here. I don't know how this all wound up with like crime at the end of it, but Chad Kelly, CFL MVP, former NFL quarterback, played for the Broncos, had some off-the-field issues, including wandering into somebody's apartment when he was in Denver, when he was at Von Miller's Halloween party. Chad Kelly's had off the... He's Jim Kelly's nephew. Suspended for 9 games for unwanted romantic advances towards a female strength coach with the Toronto Argonauts. Now, I believe that strength coach is no longer there, but Chad Kelly, he's the MVP of the CFL, suspended for half the season. If this were the NFL, this would be the biggest story right now. If this were he's the MVP of the league. Can you imagine?
Right.
Lamar Jackson suspended it would be more than 9 games if it were the NFL because of that, I think.
Well, and Chad Kelly, the thing is, he's got a long speckled history of various misconducts, including when he walked into was it Von Miller's Halloween party where he wandered away from the party and just walked into the house of another young couple and their infant child. It's a speckled history with Chad Kelly.
Yeah, man.
He was at one point. I was arguing that he should be a non-Texans worthy guy that the Texans signed. He's an Auburn killer. He was back in the day. He's got a lot of the elements of his uncle. It's just a little bit too much.
Yeah. It's too bad, man. All right, Peyton Pendergast with you. Which rookie quarterback this year, because C.J. Stroud has set the bar for a rookie last year, which rookie quarterback this year has the best chance of being this year's C.J. Stroud? That is next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Austin Mock of The Athletic has an interesting article today. Realistic expectations for this rookie QB class. Can anyone live up to C.J. Stroud? That is the headline. Texan fans, be happy. You've got the gold standard for rookie quarterbacks based off of his season last year. And he's got some interesting stuff in here. I don't want to go too far set down a stat nerdy wormhole here. But suffice it to say, there have been very few quarterbacks that have even over. And he goes back to 2017. So the QB rookie seasons between 2017 and 2023 is what Austin Mock goes and compiles here.
Yeah.
There's very few that have had a rookie season that even gets into the same spectrum, same ecosystem as C.J. Stroud. He was special last year.
It was, and I think a lot of it, too, when you look at what EPA per drop back, like the names that the top five of the guys that actually played a substantial number of games, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, which I'm guessing they must be talking about
his one game that
one
year.
Game? Okay, yeah. So I don't count him.
Yep.
Brock Purdy, yep. Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud, Drew Lock and Baker Mayfield. Those are the two where you're like, okay.
Baker's all right as a rookie, though. Remember that?
He was fine until he got injured, really. Yep. He was in line to get paid until he got injured.
That's right. That's right.
In his third year.
That's right. And so before we get to the this rookie year, class, the fact that the Texans have two of the four or five names that matter on this EPA purge, EPA is estimated points added. It's an advanced metric that is I think a pretty good accurate view of how good guys are.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson and CJ Stroud are two of the top four of guys who started a substantial number of games their rookie year.
Yeah, you look at total EPA. Justin Herbert was number one, like by a pretty healthy margin. He had a great, great rookie season.
Right.
Then it's CJ Stroud, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy.
There should be a lot of cities telling us to go to hell when we complain about our quarterback drought in between Deshaun Watson and CJ Stroud.
But Deshaun, the whole thing about Deshaun was that it's almost kind of like looking back and telling somebody to appreciate Mark McGwire. It's like you feel like, oh, right. Well, yeah, it was awesome at the time.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that such and such was going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
It was, and it just, it kind of smears it a little bit. Doesn't make it, it's not that I would gloat over people.
No.
And also, you didn't actually win anything with Deshaun.
That's fair, too. So, of these rookie quarterbacks, you know, CJ Stroud was amazing last year. He won nine starts. EPA per dropback, he's way up there. You know, he's, by any measurement, CJ Stroud had a great rookie season last year. If you had to pick one of this rookie class, is it just too easy to say Caleb Williams is the one?
It's too easy, I guess, so you'd have to say, okay, the non Caleb Williams factor. I do disagree with, I feel like this is one of those things that was thrown out there by somebody and they liked the sounds, other people liked the sounds of it, so they started saying that Caleb Williams is in the best situation any rookie quarterback has ever been in, and almost like saying it like a fact. And I guess I'm like, okay, because of Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and a rookie and Adunze, yeah, it could be really good. But like, I don't understand exactly where they're getting best situation ever for a rookie.
Are they saying for a rookie or for a number one overall pick?
Or maybe a number one. Probably a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Because it's not. I suppose.
I haven't taken a deep dive on the Bears.
I have a hard time
thinking of three better receivers for a number one overall pick.
For a number one overall quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
I guess I would take, after that, I mean, J.J. McCarthy's going to an offensive-minded coach, and the supporting cast is okay. But he was also, like, individually, I feel the least confident in him as a person.
Yeah.
He might be in the best situation for success as a rookie, but yet I don't feel all that great. I don't feel all that great about them leaning on him. I feel like if he has a good rookie season, it's going to be a whole lot of just what he did in college, which is a whole lot of running and, you know, taking advantage of play action.
Some of it for me...
Running by the running backs.
Right. Some of it for me, when you just ask the question, not you, but the article asked the question, Seth, like when they say, who's, I'm going to read the headline again. Can anyone live up to CJ Stroud? Okay, so that's, can anyone, yes, I mean, somebody can. If I'm asking the question, who would be this year's CJ Stroud? Like, who would be the version this year of CJ Stroud? Like, to me, you've got to take into account that nobody thought that CJ Stroud was going to be this. Nobody thought, more importantly, that his supporting cast was going to end up being as good as it was, or that maybe that CJ would be able to raise the level of that supporting cast. I almost feel like you can't say Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy because their supporting cast comes in with so much glitz to it. Like, there was no glitz around with CJ, you know, what CJ had going into last year. And, you know, it turns out these are really good players.
Right. You know? Yeah, so it was, yeah, the he wasn't put in a position where it looked like, oh wow, they put like they're trying to do with Will Levis or what they did with Tua Tagovailoa as a veteran player, which is all right. Let's try to give him a whole bunch of extra weapons, and here we go. He had a third round draft pick at one wide receiver spot. Even though Tank wasn't starting initially, they had Robert Woods, aging veteran. They had Nico Collins, who just untapped potential but hadn't really proven it yet.
Yeah.
And to the point now where they'll say, well, look at the weaponry he's got.
Yes.
And where they're already saying, look at the weaponry these other quarterbacks have.
Yeah. I think it's a little disrespectful to CJ when people start taking Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy and throwing their names into a conversation about him, because CJ... They didn't use the ninth pick on a receiver for CJ. They didn't have DJ Moore in the building. You know, they didn't have Keenan Allen in the building. You know?
I guess I'm just still... I'm still skeptical enough of the Bears that I feel like, all right, it's like, let's not go overboard and act like he's got... Like, he doesn't have what CJ has now.
No.
Like, now, knowing what we have of Tank Dell and knowing what we know of Nico Collins... and then adding Stephon Diggs to the mix, I still don't think Caleb Williams is in as good a situation as CJ when it comes to weaponry. So, like, if Caleb Williams does really well with this offense, my hat's off to him. I think it'll be a lot about Caleb Williams. He doesn't have weaknesses at his skill position.
Yeah.
But he also, I don't feel like, you know, you could stick a ham sandwich out there at quarterback and he'd be fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. Text message. We still have people texting in who the best Astro roast would be. And some people are saying Dusty Baker. That would be a good one. Ooh. You'd get some serious celebrity participation.
Real big time celebrities. It's tricky with baseball because there's nobody in baseball that could get roasted and have the same level of, you know, notoriety that it would have been with Tom Brady and the Patriots and everything else like that.
Right.
It doesn't have the same mass appeal. So for anything with baseball, it would have to be more local, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about even with the great players in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not the same. It doesn't have the same cachet.
Yeah.
Locally, Dusty would be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
I wish there weren't so much tension at the end. I feel like with Dusty, maybe it takes a few years.
Oh, would Dusty? Would he be a little sensitive? You know, like he cited the bloggers and the social media minions as one of the reasons why he hated the job, you know?
Would Chandler Rome be one of the roasters?
He'd have to be, right? You got to put your weapons down, Dusty, and let Chandler Rome. Would Chandler Rome do a good roast of Dusty Baker? He is a writer, you know, so I feel like he might come up with some. Not a comedy writer, but he writes, you know, like he's...
That's where the danger might be. Yeah. I think he might bite a little too close to the bone. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He might.
These aren't puppy bites.
He might. Yeah, Dusty's a good one, man. Dusty is a good one. A lot of people want to roast Correa.
Dusty would be able to bring in, like, Willie Nelson. Like, who are the babies? You know, depending on the timing of it, maybe Bill Cosby. Or did Bill Cosby die?
I don't think he's dead. I don't know. That's a good question. Ben, do you know?
Bill
Cosby dead or alive? I mean, he's off the grid, obviously. Yeah, no, I don't
think. Did he get released?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track of him.
He's still alive, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I don't need him there. I don't need Bill Cosby there. Text message. Hot take. Is Jeff Bagwell for the Astros the same as Easterby was for the Texans? Sir, I hate to break it to you. That take is out there already. So it's not smoking hot. It's lukewarm. It's a lukewarm take.
Yeah.
This
is what I don't like about it. It's I think Easterby to me strikes me as the quintessential self-promoter, cloaked as somebody that's all giving and caring, but he's just a hell of a self-promoter, and elevated him up way above beyond anywhere he should have been in an organization because he was such a good self-promoter.
Yep.
And he was also very duplicitous and just very sneaky and would pit people against each other. Bagwell is none of those things. He's the opposite of all of that.
Yeah.
So I understand that maybe the effect is the same if he's a guy that's in a position he shouldn't be, but with Bagwell, I don't feel like any. I feel like he's motivated more by obligation and duty than he is anything. Like to speak nothing of whether he's doing a good job of it or not. He's the exact opposite type of person as Jack Easterby.
Yeah, I would say the similarity is that their big decisions are working out about the same. That's the only similarity. But I think the easiest way to boil it down, I think this is what you're saying, Seth, is I think Jack Easterby had Jack Easterby's best interest at heart. I truly think Jeff Bagwell went and did what he's doing for the Astros because he wants the Astros to be great.
Yeah, and you think he loves it.
Yeah.
And he is actually somebody who's accomplished things on the baseball
Hall
side
of
things,
as
opposed to Jack Easterby, who had accomplished great things as a character coach, and then all of a sudden was weighing in on everything with the Texans.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
How did the Patriots get to be so good? Was it because Jack Easterby was their character coach turned quasi-GM? No, but let's copy that anyway. Let's copy something that never actually happened with the Patriots.
And you know he's out there right now taking credit for this resurgence of the Texans, that he had some small part in it. You know that he is. You know that he is. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Appreciate you tuning in. Dana Brown met with he didn't meet with the media. He was on MLB TV yesterday with Brian Kenny. One of the most disappointing parts of the Astros this year, I would say maybe the biggest reason why they are where they are in the standings right now, Dana Brown explained it yesterday. How are you going to feel after hearing Dana Brown explain the biggest Achilles heel on this team right now? That is next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I got my Italian-American Astros confused. Arrighetti is from here. He's from Cinco Ranch. It's Loperfido is the one who's got jersey ties. So I had that backwards during headlines. I said Arrighetti gets to start tonight in front of all of his paisans from New Jersey. I didn't say it exactly that way, but it's Loperfido who's from New Jersey.
I just thought maybe you knew something I didn't about like where his family emigrated to Texas when he was 3. They had to ride in a boxcar down here or something. I don't know.
Nope. Okay. I just botched it. Here was Dana Brown yesterday on MLB TV. As we welcome you back in here on a Wednesday, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Dana Brown on MLB TV with Brian Kenny explaining the thought process behind the Josh Hader signing.
Ultimately, you know, we wanted to really strengthen our back end. You know, we felt like we would shorten the game. We didn't expect the guys to get off to a slow start, you know, but with those three guys on the back end, Abreu, Presley, and Hader, we felt like, you look, we can shorten the game. You know, we get good starts, you know, that we would, you know, we could sort of get into this groove and get into first place and you know, defend our division title. We didn't expect to get off to this slow start. I think our guys are, you know, they understand where they are at this point, and they know that they have to turn a corner and, you know, suck it up.
That's, you know, the wild thing about the Hader signing. There's so many things now in retrospect, and I think Hader's going to get it straightened out. I think he'll get it figured out, I hope. But one, they signed him to a 5-year deal. Like for Crane to dip into free agency, true free agency, and give a guy in his 30s 5 years is something else, especially when that's a position where the contracts have just become much shorter in bullpens. Like, nobody's dishing out 5-year deals to relievers anymore, even closers. But that the double whammy, really triple whammy with the Hader thing, isn't just the length and the money. It's that he's been bad, and it's the fact that he has a position that really is only of value to you when you are winning games, when there are games to actually close, when there's opportunity. You know, you spend money on an everyday player, and they trot out there, and they go out and do their thing. And if they're good, you can have a good everyday player on a bad team that goes out there for 150 games and gives you a great season. And the team's bad, but it's not necessarily his fault. I'm not blaming Hader for where the Astros are right now, but the fact of the matter is, even if he was good, his value would be so diminished right now because the team is not very good. There's not many save opportunities with this team right now.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, well, you did this on a team who is... Let me check just to see where they are today. Mm. Sean, guess where they rank in terms of team ERA, you know, from best to worst.
Okay, this is good. I would bet, I'm going to say out of 30 teams, they are 28th.
You're so negative. They're 27th. They're not nearly as bad as you paint them out to be, Sean.
Sorry about that.
they're in the bottom third of the ninth tenthile. They're in the bottom 20%, they're in the bottom third of that bottom 20%.
Right.
No, excuse me, not 20%. The
decile. The decile. Yeah. They're in the upper third of the bottom decile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's three teams worse than them in baseball in terms of the
pitching
bottom
staff. Third of the second to worst decile. Yeah, my bad. They're 27th. I still had them at 28.
Is that a word? Is decile a word?
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're in the bottom third of the ninth decile.
Yeah. Good job.
Or wait, no, the second decile if it's the worst.
Yeah.
Anyway, God, this has gotten nerdy and stupid both at the same time.
Right.
That's what we do best. So we're stupid nerds. The pitching in general is atrocious. If all the things that have gone wrong, at the very least, for one, all right, for a while, they were like 15th or 16th in errors per game. They've worked their way back up over the last couple weeks. They're playing cleaner baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they're like in the top 10 for errors per game in a good way. Batting, there's the runners in scoring position, hitting has been awful, but you look at their OPS is good. Their batting average is good. It feels like the pendulum might swing back the other way with that. But, man, the pitching all around, whether you go with starters or back end of the bullpen or middle relief or what have you, you've got a nice little Seth Martinez here or there, and then you've got a whole bunch of awfulness. It's been just disgusting.
Yep, it's been bad. Dana Brown was asked, has the demotion of Ryan Presley to the eighth inning, you know, to a setup guy, has that affected him this season?
I think it's just a slow start. Ultimately, Presley's a gamer, a competitor. Sure, I think mentally when it first happened, I think, you know, there was some thought there like, man, I've been really good at this role. Why am I being replaced? So, I mean, I understand that part. But ultimately, when it's time to strap it on, these guys will get after it. I just think it's been unfortunate that we've gotten off to this slow start. But I don't think it affects the guys that are really good competitors, you know, throughout their entire career. I mean, Presley's going to go out and give you his heart and his soul every time out. You know, it's just that early on we're off to this slow start.
Maybe they haven't strapped it on like they do it. Strap it on better.
Yeah,
strap it on harder.
Mm-hmm.
Do something to entertain me. Okay.
Yep.
If you're somebody that's supposed to, you know, perform when it's time to strap it on, then just let's get to strapping. What do you say?
I was out.
You up for that? Maybe?
I was sitting.
Anybody up for anything?
I was sitting front row behind the bullpen on Sunday. Amy and I were, and I kept leaning over the wall, and I kept leaning down and looking at them and saying, when are you guys going to strap it on down there? All of you.
Will you please strap it on?
When does this strapping it on part happen? That's why I paid for these seats, to see you guys strap it on down there, all right? You know what was weird? They had a duffel bag that one of them carried out there. They had a duffel bag. I didn't see any apparatuses in there that would kind of what you and I are talking about right now. But there was a duffel bag full of different athletic supplies, and there were two footballs inside the duffel bag.
Oh yeah, guys. Some guys just like CJ likes to shoot basketballs, you know, before the game. It's just different mechanics.
Yeah.
And hurting your arm.
Nobody
your arm
used
a little
it though. I wanted to see somebody. I wanted to see what they look like tossing a football.
Might have also just been because they like to throw the football around. From
yeah,
time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
The Springer and who was Springer always out there with? Mariznick, right? Mariznick and Springer would play catch a lot
with the football. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They would play catch with a football before the game. Well, at one time, remember Springer was wearing a football helmet out on the. Like during batting practice.
I do remember
practice.
That. Yes.
Yeah, they had. I know Mariznick and Springer, I believe, were two of the bigger football fans on the team. And they, you know, they play fantasy football and everything, so they talk about it a lot. But Mariznick was always the one that I would have loved to have seen him as a receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet he could have been a good receiver. I mean, ultimately, he chose the right sport.
He did.
Unless he could have been all pro as a receiver or something. But he probably made more money in his career as a utility defensive specialist outfielder than he would have as like a starting third receiver.
Like
that's not a starting third, like a standard third receiver,
like a depth receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
Text message: if we could take out the first, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, we'd be amazing. Maybe less Pilates. Yeah,
I know. Everybody's like, okay, why are we focusing on the first and second inning with Hunter Brown? Can we not focus on the positive?
As soon as he
prevents any possibility of the team winning from happening, then he kind of loosens up and he's like, okay, pressure's off. This game is lost already.
Yeah.
These guys can't hit anyway. So, yeah, I'll just go ahead and have some fun out there from now on.
If this keeps going, does Espada have a breaking point at some point where he actually criticizes this team? Like, he's doing these,
we got these cuts
from last night. He's talking about six walks.
I know. I don't. But that's the problem. It's like, okay, is that what is the answer for a baseball manager? Is it like it's awesome because in movies it's somebody throwing bats into the showers,
yeah,
or it's somebody dressing somebody down or something. I think ultimately with really good managers, it's a lot of stuff that's not quantifiable.
Yeah.
It's whatever effect they have. Like Dusty, for all of his kooky lineup things at times, here and there, whatever. Like, I always felt like Dusty, for the very thing they brought him in for, was his way with people and just how smart he was when it came to perhaps pushing the right buttons at the right times with guys.
Yeah.
You know, and so is Espada, if we're going to blame it on the manager, is it as simple as like, man, Espada just is not the guy. He was the guy that was there when you didn't want to go out and do something bold or get somebody different or what have you. Like, is Espada just the guy that was easy because it felt like cruise control?
Yeah.
And and at that point, all right, whether it's his fault or not, at some point, if they get to the trade deadline and they haven't either been aggressive in trying to improve the team, or if they haven't at least tried a new manager, then I feel like, well, they're just cruising now. They just assume that everything's always going to be awesome because of what Jeff Luhnow built back.
Right, right, yeah, well, yeah, or they're insane, right? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, thinking it's going to work, you know.
And yeah, I don't like that saying, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
It's like, getting a lot of times when you practice something over and over again, it's not working, but you're practicing it until it does work. But anyway, yes.
They're 12-23. You know, like
I don't like people always attribute that quote to Albert Einstein, and that's not true either.
Oh, wow. Who said it?
I think it's one of those things they can't quite figure it out.
Oh.
It's like it popped up and multiple different people could have borrowed it from somebody else, but it's not Albert Einstein.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. Like, none of us know what's going on behind the scenes in the clubhouse, really, as far as, like, is this a team that needs a kick in the ass right now? Is there a lack of leadership? Is anybody?
Yeah.
I just know that the one time Justin Verlander said something to everybody, everybody made a huge deal out of it, which tells me there's not a whole lot of it going on in the clubhouse right now, you know?
This season. Which was what was the story this year when he said something?
With Verlander, when he got back and he was activated, I remember it was on a Wednesday, he basically told the team, like, hey, get our heads out of our butts.
Oh, okay.
And then they went out and won a game the next day, and everybody was talking about, yeah, Verlander gave us a talking to, and that's why we won the game. And then they went out and lost the next two games.
Yeah. Well, that's like when Brantley gave his big, awesome speech, and like you kind of just glide by the fact that, yeah, that he did it at batting practice, and it's not like anybody actually had a good offensive game that next game in the World Series. It was just
it was a good no-hitter.
Right, they threw a committee no hitter.
Yeah,
and that's what it was. It wasn't. It had nothing to do with what they were talking about at batting practice.
Yeah, something.
But it was
wrong.
A nice speech. It's a good story. It looks good on the Hollywood script.
Something's wrong. I know that. Let's get to
as far as changing the coach. I know this just from talking to owners, talking to. And then talking to coaches about quarterbacks and when they know when to change it. Like, sometimes it really is just a matter of, look, there's no scientific method to this. It's like they need a spark and we don't know where to get it. Maybe a change of manager would be the thing. I don't know who it is. The guys last night were kind of just joking around, throwing names out like Buck Showalter, with Patrick and Sean last night.
Yeah. All right.
Peyton
Pendergast with you, heading into the 9 o'clock hour. Dana Brown, let's get to a little bit more Dana Brown. What Seth was just talking about. Will they be a seller at the trade deadline? What does this answer sound like to you? Take a listen to what Dana Brown has to say in the next segment. Do you agree with the Astros GM? That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.